We are starting off this week with a little recap of last week to help us head into this week's sermon. Last week, we learned that Paul has a special relationship with the church at Philippi. This is very important for us to remember. I think understanding the love that Paul has for this church and the love that this church has for Paul help us get a key insight into the entire letter of Philippians. So we read last week from Philippians chapter 1. He said, "I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So you can really see the connection between Paul and this congregation and how hopeful he was to see this congregation who had come together in love, who had supported their church and other churches, and his hope was that this would continue as he watched them grow. And in verse 7, he says, "It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." Again, we see that Paul had a true love for this congregation. And he continues, he's saying, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." And just as this was Paul's prayer for his congregation at Philippi, this is also my prayer for you. And last week we looked at some ways we can grow in the knowledge of God, how we can become fruitful followers and grow closer together. We talked about the need to be devoted to prayer, to continue what we've already started. We needed to be devoted to increasing our knowledge of God. We needed to be devoted to worship, to growing spiritually, and we need to continue to be willing to serve others and be willing to share our faith. I feel these are very important things for us. And the entire reason for us growing closer to Christ, the reason for us growing closer to each other, is simply for this one purpose. And we get into today's scripture, verse 12. "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." That last phrase is very important, to advance the gospel. Now, we can have a church where 100% of the members show up every Sunday. 100% of the members are in Sunday school or small groups. We can have 3,000 mission groups, and we can have hundreds of opportunities to pray, and we can even worship more than once a week. And all of this would be great, but in all of those things, they would not matter if we were not able to say that we were serving to advance the gospel. We are to be about the mission of the church, which is making disciples of Jesus Christ. Or as Paul phrases it, are we serving to advance the gospel? Now, Paul had been arrested. Paul was not in great circumstances at the time. But if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, it was rare he was ever in good circumstances. We read that he was beaten, jailed, shipwrecked, and run out of towns. One might say he sure had his run of bad luck. But even in his hardest of times, Paul always looks to the bright side. And here, instead of complaining about his circumstances, Paul says what has happened to him has actually served to advance the gospel. And he continues in his letter, "As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. You know, there are places around the world, even today, where Christians face serious criminal charges for preaching the gospel. Missionaries and others lose their lives every day. And in so many places where Christianity is banned, Christianity continues to grow. Many decades ago, the communist regime took over Cuba. The Methodist Church was reduced to about 6,000 members. And yet, over the next 30 to 35 years, while still under communist control, the Methodist Church grew to 50,000 members. Yet, while in the U.S. we have religious freedom, we have been seeing declining numbers in our churches. And in our current climate, it is harder and harder for Christians who hold traditional beliefs to take a stand without being tried, convicted, and actually silenced by the court of popular opinion. And with all that is going around us, we are slowly allowing ourselves to become victims and slaves to our own circumstances. Instead, we should have the resolve of Paul, the resolve to remain firm in our theological commitments, no matter how unpopular they become, and work to continue to advance the gospel. We don't have to like our circumstances, but in all circumstances, we can find opportunities to advance the gospel. In our scripture today, Paul says not to worry about circumstances and focus instead on advancing the gospel, because even in tough circumstances, God can and will use us to advance the gospel. And if it were not enough for Christians to have to face the world that seems to be against us, sometimes we as Christians face off against each other. We have mega churches competing with the small community churches. And even in our own United Methodist denomination, we are no longer united. We have a split looming before us, pitting one group against another. And I must admit, there have been times when I get wrapped up in feeling that we are in competition with the mega churches. We have two on each end of our reach. And I must admit my sin. I must admit that I get distracted by how much they seem to overshadow what we do. And they always seem to get on the TV news or on the radio all of the time. But Paul writes this. Verse 15, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. Now, we've all seen the televangelist, and we often stereotype them to be money-grubbing people who exploit the gospel. And I admit I'm one of the first to criticize them. And we also sometimes pick on others. Do you remember that statue called Touchdown Jesus on I-75? And remember when lightning struck it and burnt it down and some people were like, yes! But when they went to rebuild it and people donated millions of dollars, people were criticizing them, saying, why would you build this big statue when that money could be spent somewhere else? But there was testimony after testimony after testimony of people said, I drove by that and it convicted me. I did this and it meant something to me. So who are we to criticize if that helped advance the gospel? There are people who are highly critical of the money spent to build the giant Ark Encounter in Kentucky. I don't know if you have ever been to that, but it is a life-size replica of Noah's Ark. And let me tell you, whether you agree with it or not, it is impressive. It costs some money, and if it's open and you want to go, it's worth it. But they say it cost an estimated $102 million to build. Now, critics say that $102 million should have been used to feed the poor and not build what they call a giant idol. But you know what? Millions of people go through that. And at the end of the tour, they present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, why should we be upset or critical? Despite what we think their motives were, the gospel is being presented. But in all reality, the things going on with the televangelist, or the things going on other churches, or even the things going on in our denomination are beyond our control. And Paul writes in verse 18, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. We are not in competition with other churches. We all have a mission to advance the gospel. And I think that at Zion, we are doing a great job despite being in the shadow of the mega churches. And we're doing a great job despite the pandemic. And while it has been hard to be in the conditions of COVID, while it is hard on many not being able to gather the way we want, where we can't hug and we can't love and I can't come into your homes. But despite all of this, you know what has happened? It has actually served to advance the gospel. With our live stream, we are witnessing and sharing the gospel with more people each Sunday because of our live stream than we had pre-COVID. Did you know that? We were averaging an average attendance right before COVID about 50 to 60 people, about 55 people on an average Sunday. And now, between what gathers here and our best estimation on Facebook, we've got over 75 people that regularly follow us. Our Facebook page in March of this year had less than 50 followers. Less than 50 followers in March. Today, Zion's Facebook page has over 240 followers. What has happened has advanced the gospel. Today, more people are hearing the gospel. More people are seeing what we are doing. Our prayers are working. Our missions are helping. Each week we have people from our neighboring states, Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. But we also have people from Florida, Tennessee, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Missouri, just to name a few locations that are checking in. When we remain faithful and committed to advancing the gospel, the Holy Spirit will work through us in all circumstances. Christianity seems to have a way of surviving and growing more when it's in its most difficult times. So we're in difficult times, aren't we? And I say bring it on, because we have more of a chance to advance the gospel. As I mentioned before, communists took over Cuba, and what happened? In 35 years, the church grew. According to an article I read recently, the countries with the greatest rate of evangelical growth are Iran and Afghanistan, which both have a growth rate of Christianity of more than 16% each. In fact, 7 of the top 10 growth countries for Christianity are in the Arabian Peninsula. Can you believe that? In the U.S., Christianity was reported to growing at only a rate of 0.08%. That's less than 0.1%. That means the pace of the overall population growth in the U.S. is outpacing the growth of Christianity, meaning that the U.S. is actually in an overall decline as a percentage of the population. A few years ago, I remember reading a report from a group in Africa where Christianity was exploding. And you know what this group was planning to do in 10 years? To send missionaries here. It seems backwards in our mind, doesn't it? We were sending ministries and missionaries and pastors and stuff there to teach them. And the gospel exploded and they're growing and we're going down. And they said, we got to go back and reteach them what they came to teach us. See, we need to continue to refocus. We need to continue to be more serious about our faith. It is time to turn the tide in the U.S., starting right here in this community. It is time for us to band together like no other time to advance the gospel. And a revival in the United States can start right here in this very space. And there is no doubt we will be facing a lot of distractions the remainder of this year and well into 2021. Our election will probably be the most troubled in U.S. history. Tensions on race are rising. And we have no idea when we will see relief from this pandemic. And on top of all of this, our church will watch in 2021 as a vote will allow the split of our denomination to pass. But in spite of all these distractions, in spite of all the pressures that are upon us, we can continue to pull together and continue our work on advancing the gospel. Do you believe that God can continue to grow our reach? I do, because we've seen God do it. Do you believe that God can use us to impact our community? I do, because we have seen God do it. I believe God has many great things in store for this congregation. And God will continue to use us as long as we continue to have faith, as long as we continue to grow closer to God, and as long as we continue to grow closer to each other. And I don't know about you, but I am ready for His blessings to continue. Our call is to let us keep our focus, follow Him, and advance the gospel. Please pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are in a difficult state, but we are also in a blessed state. We are in a position to provide people your glorious light, your glorious love, your glorious grace, and your glorious redemption. And Lord, let us be bold. And let us continue the work that was started centuries ago by the early church. Lord, your church started with a handful of followers in Jerusalem. And in a few hundred years, it spread to an entire empire. And while in some places we are seeing defeat, in others we are seeing victory. And Lord, let us not give up hope, because through you, we can be very powerful instruments. Lord, I humbly ask that each person here sees your power, that they see what you have been able to do, and may they be fully committed to drawing closer to you, so that we may draw closer together, and so that your work, your gospel, may advance in this world, and that can be the solution to all the problems that we see. Imagine if more of this world had the peace and love of Jesus Christ. We imagine this world if they found their identity in you and not through politics. What if we had a world that could praise and rejoice you in all circumstances and through all things? Lord, let us be true to our calling. Let us be the church that you have called us to be. All of this we ask and pray through you, our Father, your Son, Jesus Christ, and through your Holy Spirit. Amen.